It's What's the Buzz, our weekly chat with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
This week, Anika spoke to Bryn and Jai from Students for Sensible Drug Policy about the organisation and their goals for drug advocacy in Aotearoa.
So, just to start off with, would you be able to just tell me a little bit about the organisation Students for Sensible Drug Policy?
Sure thing. So Students for Sensible Drug Policy is an international kind of grassroots network of people. We've got chapters all over the world, and all of us are concerned with kind of the impact of drug misuse, but we also acknowledge that kind of the current drug policies all over the world are kind of failing massively, to be honest. And we want to advocate for positive policy change that will improve the well-being and reduce the harm, as well as kind of advocating for improved drug education broadly on top of policy changes as well.
How sort of large is are your student connections here in New Zealand?
So in New Zealand, our connections are actually quite small at the moment. We've only just kind of got this the current New Zealand chapter off the ground within kind of the last month or so. So we're really, really new, but we are kind of looking to branch out across the country. We're currently based only in Dunedin, but hopefully within the next wee while we can make connections in all of the main centres and start getting the message out more widely.
Now, because obviously here, Students for Sensible Drug Policy isn't as established as it is in other countries. Are some of the other international chapters seeing having a student-led group being quite effective in advocating for drug reform?
Well, it kind of depends on the area you're talking about. Because of the way SSDP works, each chapter is kind of, well, is really attuned to their kind of local issues and making those changes to the things they can, essentially. So for some countries that have relatively, I don't want to say progressive, because I wouldn't necessarily agree that current drug policies are progressive really anywhere, but in places where they are, let's say, less harsh, there's less of a urgency or to advocate for change that is, I guess, if there's no major, glaring, obvious change that could instantly be fixed with something relatively simple, then that makes it, I guess, a little bit harder. And a lot of the pushback, or there's a lot more pushback to get to that kind of next step if the countries are sitting, or the locations are sitting at this stage, kind of similar to New Zealand, where the next big change would be decriminalisation or legalisation. In some countries, there is very, very harsh penalties for drug use and even drug misuse. It is just a health issue. And so places like that are trying to achieve changes faster. For individual university campus affiliated chapters of SSDP, a lot of those chapters are seeing changes quite quickly as they kind of get down their university or get on top of their university's back about their university policies specifically. So,
what kind of university policies are you referring to?
So let's just say, for instance, if the university has really kind of has a non-health-based approach to dealing with drug issues within their student population. So if a student is finding themselves having trouble and becoming dependent on certain substances and an issue arises from that kind of thing, depending on the university policy within each location, somebody may be kind of punished rather than be helped by the university or the health provider associated with that university. And of course, that's not a good thing, to be punished when you need help. So a lot of the work of SSDP across the world has been targeted at university policy like that. Other things such as just getting out effective harm reduction information has also been something that is specifically targeted by SSDP organisations. or chapters, sorry. So if a university kind of has zero or very minimal drug education, that's something that SSDP is really big on. Obviously, if we improve the education, then often safety is also improved or there's a reduction in harm. And that's something that we've kind of got a big focus on, or at least we're aiming to focus on, early on, because that's something that we think could be easily improved and would definitely change the impact that drugs have nationally.
So when we speak about the work you do in advocating for drug law reform, is a lot of it primarily getting important information out there?
Definitely. I mean, quite often something that we'll run into just talking to people at events or even outside of events is that people don't really have a lot of knowledge or information regarding drugs or even how drug policy affects drug use and drug users. And I think that is one of the major things that leads to a lot of the stigmatization that people kind of get, because there's a lack of information regarding, you know, how we even got to this kind of drug policy stage in the first place, what it means to be a drug user. I think a lot of people have this, you know, dark, shadowy figure in their mind when they think of a drug user, when, of course, in reality, that's not the case. And even within drug users themselves, there's a lot of misinformation or lack of information that leads to more harm. So, you know, just knowing about the safety profile of a drug that somebody might use or somebody within your friend group might use, if you had a lot more, or if anyone had more information on that kind of thing, then everyone would be a lot safer.
Now, in the sort of mission statement for Students for Sensible Drug Policy, it's described as a youth-led network dedicated to ending the war on drugs. I mean, when we think of the war on drugs, it's almost this, you know, idea from the 80s. I don't know about you guys, but it sort of feels like young people nowadays are fairly out of touch with that, but it still has a pretty hefty impact on drug policy. So do you think that now, with more of our sort of generation growing up and getting into policy and law change, things like that, do you think now is a good time to really be targeting changes to drug law?
Definitely. I mean, as you say, the laws that are affecting people today were put into effect decades ago by people who are dead now. And one of the things that we are trying to achieve is raising people's awareness of just how strange and foreign these policies are and how we don't have to have them anymore. We can choose something different.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that people really don't know about is that a lot of the policies that we have inherited from the US are based purely on racism. And if more people kind of had that knowledge, they would see kind of how silly the whole system is, and it would be a lot easier to make changes. As I said before about stigma, you know, we have kind of put the stigma onto drug users generally now, but that wasn't, you know, the stigma didn't purely arise from drug or put onto drug users, it was onto a specific type of drug user, which was almost always based on their race, and this all essentially came from the US. So if people knew about the history, I think that would change a lot of minds relatively quickly.
Especially because a lot of the harms we associate with drug use developed after their criminalization.
Mm.
methamphetamine in particular is one that was talked about a lot at the Drug Foundation Symposium last week. And there were a lot of examples of the various preparations that were available before it was criminalized that were not associated with harm, that were regulated and safe. And then after criminalization, the only forms available were extremely potent concentrated ones that were not taken in safe environments, not regulated in their production and safety, and where support services were not available to people who would develop problematic use. So it's really important for people to understand how much of the harm associated with substance use has only developed because of the criminalization of those substances.
And what next steps would you like to see from the New Zealand government here? Because obviously we've been told that any changes to drug law would need to go through a referendum. Do you think that's particularly fair?
It's definitely not something that we think is necessary at all. And kind of as we've alluded to, people don't necessarily have the information that they need to make an informed decision. And there's a lot of lobbying from kind of the other side, or people that would kind of lose out to some degree if there were dramatic changes to drug policy. So I'm thinking kind of alcohol, tobacco companies a lot of the time. So I think it's a bit of a reach to say that it's necessary to have a lot of public involvement. We know that decriminalisation benefits a country in general, all the people of a country. Portugal, you know, is the perfect example of decriminalisation benefiting the people within the country. And, you know, Portugal didn't really ask for permission to decriminalise all drugs. They just did it and it worked. And that's something that our government needs to do. They need to be a bit more brave and just make that change. You know, if even if the current government was to never be elected again because of such a dramatic, let's say dramatic, policy change, I think that's something that they could be extremely proud of, and they could, you know, leave that legacy and be known as the people that changed New Zealand forever for the better if they did so.
This is The Wire, and that was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation. Why should you want to know?